So this is it. So that's it. I screwed it up. 1 week. 1 week, and I screwed it up. So that's it. That's the name of this. That's the name of this message. So that's it. And okay, we decided to go ahead and do this again.
Yeah, I'm just coming in the back here in this wheelbarrow.
All right. Yeah, because it was.
Hey guys, how we doing? One time I went to this conference in this stadium, and the guy that was speaking came in on an elephant. And I was like, well, that's quite an entrance. So I thought, I need to match that with coming in on a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, that's...
Because that's the same, isn't it?
I just assumed we were going to cut this bit.
No, we're not cutting it. Amen.
Poor Wes. What?
Oh, yeah. That's. Yeah.
What was that an elephant?
That was an elephant.
Was that an... please tell me that was an elephant sound and it came from your mouth. Yeah. So we need to bring this up. We need some guys. We need some guys with muscles. So, Caleb and Eddie, you stay there. We need muscles. they're band guys. What? So come on, let's stay. We're gonna lift.
Jared, you better not
lift
drop
him right
me,
up onto stage.
I will
give you guys
right
$10 if you accidentally drop him. Come on.
I take pleasure in gutting you, boy.
This is. So that's it.
That's it, man. I'm just gonna do this from right here.
You're gonna do it from right there. Is it comfortable?
It's not bad.
I'm going to leave and let you get out of there. I promise you, you're going to come close to falling when you get out of there.
This is the most that I've interacted with the wheelbarrow in my life.
Do you want moved? you want moved closer to the screen? Or you just?
I feel good right here. Can you see me?
Can you guys see him? Right, he just does his message from right there.
All right, I got to get out of this thing. This is the scariest part. Oh!
All right, so Joel Kovacs, everyone, applaud because you got out of
there. Oh, yeah.
Wes, take me out of here.
Anything for fun. Yeah, get him out of here.
Oh, it is. Oh, that
it's
is
nice.
Yeah.
Especially when you, like here.
No.
Oh.
No. You have not run a wheelbarrow. I'm not letting you move me around. Joel Kovacs, everybody.
It's tips. Hey, guys. We're going to do a one-time message today called So That's It. But I want to just remind you and really announce to you that over the next 3 weeks, we are going to be doing the We Can't series again. Raise your hand if you went through that last time. Yes, We Can't is a two-year, when we started, it was a two-year generosity initiative to get our church to understand how much God has given us and to give back. And there's a lot of different pieces of it. Some of you may not know that when you give to 514 Church, 10% of everything you give goes towards ministry partners who are helping feed the hungry and clothe those that don't have clothes. It's a couple organizations, also some parachurch organizations that we're going to start giving to. And so when you give, you're giving to so much more. You're giving to make this place go. You're giving to serving people all over the city of Columbus. And you're also, when we're talking about our generosity, we're talking about the future of 514 Church in a building. But it's so much more than a building. And I know that that just sounds like a broken record if you grew up in church and the church is trying to get a new location, a new building and all that stuff. But I have to tell you that the more I go down this path, the more true that is, that We Can't is truly a faith journey. It's truly trusting God with your entire life and being generous, giving your time, giving your energy, giving your effort, giving your treasure, all of that, and saying, God, all I have, I wouldn't have if you didn't give it to me, so I'm going to trust you with it, and I'm going to take a leap of faith and really rely on you. And a piece of that is our finances. And I think that one of the reasons last year when we did We Can't, we had such great success with all of those that gave, that our church committed $6 million over 2 years, which is incredible. But at the same time, I think because when people see We Can't, they associate a building and finances with it, and they reduce it down to just that, and they think, I don't want anything to do with it. Because last year, even though we did well, our attendance went down during We Can't. Because people think that We Can't is solely about getting people's money. And that is sad to me. It is an opportunity with your entire being, just like anything else, to trust a big and wonderful God who loves you. And you're going to have to do that in every area of your life, including your finances. And when we trust God financially, then when we can come together and do amazing things to continue to grow the kingdom of God. That's what We Can't is about. And so I want to just encourage you over the next 3 weeks, we are going to have so much fun with We Can't that you're going to feel differently about generosity. We have some special guests coming, and next week, we have a huge announcement to make. Huge. Like, you are not going to want to miss next week, because you are going to miss such an incredible moment in the history of our church. It's a landmark day for our church. You will, if you miss it, you will have missed one of the most important, seriously, I'm not just trying to sell this, could be the most, single most important announcement that we've made since the church started, is something that we're going to tell you next week, so you do not want to miss it. And then there's 1 week in between there on the 23rd, and then October 30th. Everyone, whether you made a commitment last time or you haven't made a commitment to We Can't and the generosity journey that so many have gone on, you need to be here October 30th, because it's going to be your opportunity to join in the generosity, to join in giving back and being a part of something so much bigger than yourselves. You do not want to miss October 30th. It's funny, I know people, and I've met people, and you've met people that you see their life, and because of their activity, you think, wow, that person must see something or understand something that I don't, for example, or they must have some type of motivation that I'm not sure I can connect with. Yesterday, I took our second born Jet, that's Jet like a jet plane, because these are little jet skis and Jet Man, and I took Jet to his first Ohio State football game, who even on their sluggish day, they still hung 21 on those ding-dongs. Like, I mean, they're so good right now, even on a bad day, they're good. And Michigan better watch out. I mean, I'm just excited to just pound those guys. I used to like Michigan. Now I don't like them at all. Jim Harbaugh bothers me so much. Oh, I can't wait to destroy them. Anyway, so I took Jet to the game, and as we were walking out of the game, we walked through the parking lot where all the tailgating is, and I'm overwhelmed by the people who spend so much time, energy, and effort on decaling their entire car with Ohio State pictures and words, and then the people that spend all the time and energy to put like sound systems and flat screen TVs on the inside of their cars. And I know they do this every year, but it's overwhelming how committed they are. I mean, they are committed. If you, maybe one of you is out there. That's fine. I'm not trying to like make fun of you, but the commitment level to tailgate every Ohio State game, to decal your van, to hang a TV in there, to pay for whatever it is that gets, people are sitting there on couches watching like every game. I'm like, I can't even do that at my house. I have the internet there. They got antennas. I'm like, what is happening? It's a level of commitment, and there's something inside of people that at times, when they get into something, it moves them towards what I'm going to call today massive action. Like something triggers in them, and the switch goes off, and then they just do all kinds of things. They spend their time, they spend their energy, they spend their resources on whatever it is that they're excited about. And it's because they see something and they believe something that a lot of people, when you look at them, you go, I don't get it. I don't get why you're so into this. When you look at this picture that we picked for this series, a lot of people see different things. You know, and if one person says something, then the other person goes, oh, I see it. Oh, so that's it. Okay, I see it. Like a lot of people have said, when I first saw this, I saw South America, Africa, like the globe. What do you guys see? A bat. See, dude, we need to meet and talk, because that says a lot about you. You have a lot of problems. This was a test. Now be careful. Anyone else want to be honest? Butterfly means you're good. Bat, we need to meet. What else you guys see? Huh? What did you say? A frog holding pom-poms. You must have grown up in the 60s. What else do you see? Someone says something else. Someone sees an elephant? You guys see an elephant? I mean, I do not. Oh, so the ears. Oh, so that's it. Now I see it. Anyone else has a good one? I have not seen an elephant yet. Transformer. Everybody says a transformer. I don't see a transformer here. I think you're crazy. You what's that? A tiger. People look at this and they go, oh, okay, so that's it. And people see it differently. And it's funny when you watch certain people, they see life, they see the world, and then it triggers them to live their life a certain way. And there are some people in the world that I watch what they do, whatever their activity is, and I go, what do they see that I don't? Namely, these people, the doomsday preppers. Anybody seen this on National Geographic? Okay, these are people who have like emptied their bank accounts and done massive action because they believe that an apocalypse of some sorts is going to strike and they're going to lose. They're not going to have water, so they have 50 gallons of water in their garage. They have 14 generators. They have 18 like handguns, let alone all the other types of guns. And then they have safes with guns in them because like when the zombies come, you gotta guard the guns. Like, I mean, these people believe this. I mean, here's a guy, seriously, I went through. This is Jerry. Say hi, Jerry. Jerry here, he believes something about the end. He believes something that it triggered in him because for a while, he was a guy just like the rest of us. He owned an insurance business and he sold it and he spent $1 million digging his home underground. I mean, can you imagine, like, just for a second right now, like, if you believe something at your core being, like, whatever it is that you live for every day, you have that trigger, you have that belief that you're moving towards, you're building every single day, and just like you might buy a house or you might move to a different city for a job, lots of action, lots of activity, raise a family, sell a business, buy a business, go to a school, drive to a different school and go to OU as opposed to high, whatever it is, you believe something, so you do it. These people believe, just like this guy sold his business, lives underground. Unbelievable. Apparently, there's some other people on this site. Apparently, during the apocalypse, you're going to need flamethrowers made of giant pieces of PVC pipe. This guy is ready. This guy is ready. But I mean, look at this. This guy is like out in his backyard at night. He believes he needs a flamethrower, so he built one. That's crazy that he's doing that. From where I sit, I'm going, what are you doing that for? Now, this one is just all kinds of questions arise for me when I see this. These are people, these doomsday preppers. They're preparing for the apocalypse with charred wood bear statues and bows and arrows. So for some reason, they think that like when everything goes bad, that the zombies are actually going to be bears, and they need to like use the bow and arrow. So they're outside. Think about the activity. Think about it. These people are in their yards setting up bear targets and shooting them with bows and arrows. Like the last time I shot a bow and arrow was in like elementary school, where like you learn to shoot a bow and arrow. Now, I'm not a hunter or anything like that, but I mean, these kids are out there getting ready for what? The bears. I mean, massive, massive action, massive intention towards something that they believe that you and I don't believe. So we look at them and we go, that's crazy. Why are you guys so intense? And some of you are like on the border. You've been saying to your wife, we need to go get a 50-gallon drum of water. I mean, I know it. I know you're in here. I've talked to some of you. You're like the undercover doomsday prepper. Like if we all went to your basement, we'd be like, oh man, this guy is a mess. Some of you are in here, are like that. But we think they're crazy. But here's the thing. They think we're crazy. They think that we're going to miss. They think that we're in trouble. They think that something's going to happen and we're not going to be prepared for it. And so these people, the thing about them that's interesting is they did not always think this. Some of them were just like you and me. Like Jerry, he at first just kind of walked through life and he had his insurance business. And then he believed, okay, I got to make a major change. And then he made major steps, sold businesses, built house underground, massive action. And he started to prepare for something that he believed was truly going to happen one day. People who think with the end in mind prepare for it today. People who think with the end in mind prepare for today. So here's my question, like, what does the end look like for you? Like, what are you preparing for every single day so that when the end comes, whatever that is, you're ready. You're ready for it. What do you do every single day to make sure that when the end comes, that you're going to be in that spot that you're like, this is where I need to be? What do you do every single month? What's your job? What's your job do, and how do you spend your time, energy, resources to prepare for the end? Now, a lot of people see something specific. Some of us are in here today, we don't really know what's going to happen at the end, so we don't know how to prepare for it. But then there's some people that see something and they're preparing for it with prepping and hoarding water and canned foods and all that stuff. And then there are some people who I have met and who are in this church who have a belief system about what the end is about in terms of our faith. What is going to happen someday? They believe it at such a core level that they too are spending their time with massive action towards preparing towards what God is said the end will look like. There are some of you who are in here and you are spending your life knowing, I'm going to spend my life every single day on what is most important because I believe something's going to happen at the end and I want to make sure that I'm prepared for it. And then there are some people who are in here today who, when you see someone make a decision to spend their time building into the kingdom of God, going to church, bringing your kids to church, waking up early, serving people that come into the building for the first time, praying, singing, 514 serve, spending a whole Saturday to help people clean up their neighborhood, giving of your time, giving of your resources. When you hear of someone giving 10% to the local church, you go, what in the world? To some of you, it's like the doomsday preppers. What do they see that I don't see? What do they believe that I don't believe? And there are people who can see it, whatever that it is, they can see it. People who see it see something that others don't. So today, what I want to do is I want to bring everybody towards what the Bible says is going to happen in terms of how we spend every single day and what our lives are supposed to look like as we prepare for a specific day that every single one of us are going to go towards. And my goal is that after you see this, you'll go, oh, really? That's what I need to be doing every day to prepare for then? And once you get there, and this is a lot, it's a lot. What it should do is if you believe it in your core, if you believe it, then it will strike inside of you massive action. Your life will change when you see the end and the days in between now and then differently. It will change. And some of you will go, finally, I get it. Finally, I see it. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, so he was alive during the first century. He was actually contemporary with Christ. He didn't spend time around Christ, but he was around all the first followers of Christ. And at first, he persecuted them. And then he had an interaction with God, with Jesus Christ, and he became a preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ. As he preached the gospel to all of the relevant modern nations, Rome and in Greece, he started to build the local church. And what he would do is he would go from place to place and he would walk in and he kind of had his same message. Who is Jesus? What did he do for you? How much does he love you? How did his life, death, burial, and resurrection, how did it change the way you should live? You should put your faith in Jesus. And he had this foundational teaching that was really the spark for more people following Jesus because Jesus was in Jerusalem and then these people went on these missionary journeys to bring the message all around the world. And so all around the world, the message of Jesus was being preached. And what happens is other leaders hear the message, and people are divided about whose teaching is better. Whose teaching should we follow more? I mean, does it surprise anybody right now that you could potentially have two different people in the country divided around who's the better leader? Big shock, right? I mean, this is the world we live in right now. I mean, like, for me, it's literally like this political conversation is like, well, he's not as worse as she is, but she's not as worse as he is. Who's the least worse? Who's the worser? I mean, this literally is like people fighting for who's not as bad. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. But you can imagine if people haven't changed that much over the years, they're hearing Paul talk, and then they're hearing this other leader Apollos talk, and people have different ideas about who the better leader is. And what Paul does is he jumps in and he goes, guys, you're missing the point. Really, this is not so much about the messenger as it is the message. And the message is the part that you have to get crystal clear and you have to spend the rest of your life on. Don't worry about the messenger. As long as they're saying the same things, they could say them a different way, they could sound a different way, they could be in a different language. It's the message that matters. And so Paul goes into these Corinthians who are having a struggle with the messenger and going, let's talk about the message. He says, using the gift that God gave me, I did the work of an expert builder and laid the foundation, and someone else is building on it. He says, I laid the foundation of Jesus Christ being the game-changing person in the universe. He is the game changer. You put your faith in Jesus. You believe that he died on the cross. You believe that he came and rose from the dead. That changes everything. That's the foundation of life. And I preached it, and I preached it to you. And what matters is that you, don't worry about Apollos or Cephas, Peter, or any of these other guys. Worry, think, plan, prepare to do the same thing, because you are building on my foundation that I laid. That means every single person in this room, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That every single day you are building on this foundation if you're a follower of Christ. It's like the first realization. I'm building something every day, every minute, with what you believe, what you say, what you do with your time. Every day you are building something. I'm building something. He says, so be careful. I laid the foundation and you're building on top of it. He goes on, he says this, but each of you must be careful how you build. Man, it's one thing to be told for the first time that I'm building. It's another thing to be like, you need to be very careful about how you build. But you need to be intentional. You need to make sure that you have some steps and some ideas and that you're intentional every single day, because you're building on the foundation of Jesus if you're a follower of Christ. So be careful what you build. You want to make sure, right? If you're building, I mean, if you have confessed that Jesus is Lord, then that means that your activity every single day is building on the foundation that Paul laid. Don't you want to make sure that what you're doing lines up with the foundation? I went to Italy and saw the Leaning Tower of Pisa. This thing took like 80 years to build, maybe more. I'm not a historian, but I remember them telling me it was like 80 to 120 years. The guy that started it didn't finish it. He died, and then someone else came in and finished it. And what happened was the foundation of Pisa was a bad foundation. And so it wasn't that it just started to lean. It was that the foundation went like this, and then as the other people came in, they actually corrected it so it's in the shape of a banana. It's not leaning. They're trying to make it go up the way it should, because they're going, this foundation's messed up. We got to build it and correct it. We'll flip it around. You guys have a good foundation in Christ. Can you imagine if you just start building it in the wrong direction? And some of you are going, okay, I didn't even know I was building. Every single one of us are building, and you have to be careful how you build. For God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. You see, the purpose of every follower, and this is what Bryce and Ryan talked about last week in our service, if you missed it, they talked about how faith cannot just be an activity that is lived out, but it really has to have a subjective connection to a person, Jesus Christ. That there's a relational aspect as you walk through, and you need to know the person of Jesus, because when you go out of high school, you'll go into college, and if it was just some behaviors that took place over here in high school, you try to transplant the behaviors into college, and you'll mess up. You'll lose it. Because it won't feel as good, it won't be as easy to do because the environment changes. But if you have a person, Jesus Christ, whom you love, whom you live for every single day, he's going to walk with you. And if you stay close to him, he can help you navigate different terrain. So this entire thing, the foundation of Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ is a person. Like, you guys came to church today to worship Jesus Christ. A person, a being who created you. He's a person. He is a being who exists, who has thoughts, who has actions, who has emotions, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And what Paul is saying is the relationship with Jesus is the foundation, and you got to make sure that you're building on that foundation and you're continuing the idea of a relationship being the center of faith. Jesus Christ, the one foundation, build on that. Build on that every single day. No one else can lay something else. And then he goes into, this is so cool, he jumps to what you're doing every day and how you're building it. And he gives this great analogy. He says, some will use gold or silver or precious stones building on the foundation. He basically says, some of you are going to see that Christ in this relational aspect and the purpose of Jesus Christ is a certain way, and you are going to build on top of that congruently with the foundation. So what you do is going to be consistent with what was, with that which was laid from the beginning. A relationship with Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, forgiveness, love. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. That is the foundation of Christ. Forgiving those who haven't even decided to forgive him. He forgives them on the cross. His blood is shed. This is the foundation. When you take those pieces, love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all the things that come from the foundation of Jesus Christ, when you start to live that out every single day, you are building on the foundation that was laid. That's gold. That's silver. Those are precious stones. And then he says, but some of you, you're spending your time building on the foundation using wood or grass or straw. There's a translation that I love that says wood, hay, and stubble. I like the word stubble because I think it appropriately defines what we're spending most of our time doing. Building with stubble. And this is actually the story of the three little pigs. There are some people who are building on the foundation of Christ with the same thing that the foundation was built out of. It's strong, it's sturdy, and then there are some people who are building their lives with stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus. That means their action, their massive action, the trigger in their life is to build up stuff that doesn't build the relationship with Jesus into the world. And then what he does is he says there's these two different types of people that are living their life. Some are building on the foundation, some are not. And he takes us all the way to the end. And the people that understand this part and the next thing he says are the people who see it. And when they see it, they go, oh, that's it. That's it. And that it moves them to massive action. And when they see this next piece, what they do is they start preparing for it today. Because what he's about to do is take what you do every single day and tie it to the end. He says, and the quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. Whoa, the day of Christ. Now, for those of you that are kind of new to the scriptures, there's an entire teaching on the day of Christ or the day of the Lord. And all the way throughout the Old Testament, we see the tracks and the foundation of that concept being about when God kind of says, earth as it is right now, we're going to stop that. We're going to shut that down. We're going to kind of fix all that's been wronged. We're going to then move into the next phase of eternity with God and Jesus and those who follow him. And he basically says there's going to be this day where we all stand before the Lord. Now, if you didn't grow up in church or you didn't study the Bible or maybe this is new, the scriptures outline two different types of judgment around the day of the Lord. Two different types of judgment. The first one is called the Great White Throne Judgment. This is where God takes all the people of earth, all of us, and we stand before him. And those that have given him their lives, have said, Jesus, I want to follow you. Before the Great White Throne Judgment, he separates all people into two categories, the sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats. And the goats are those that have rejected God, and they're separated from God for eternity. And then there are the sheep that have accepted God, and they are in the name of Jesus, and they have asked for Jesus' forgiveness, and nothing they did made them a sheep. They just accepted the sheep. Nothing that they did made them a sheep. They just accepted the Lamb of God. They let the blood of Jesus Christ die for their sins. They just said, oh, I want Jesus to forgive me, and then they became a sheep. And everyone until that point is just a goat. Nah. That's all you are. And Jesus, God stands up before in the Great White Throne Judgment and goes, you guys are the sheep, you guys are the goats. Then he moves over here to the sheep. And as soon as they become sheep, he starts to say, you need to build all of your life between when you became a sheep and when you go stand before God. You need to spend your life building the kingdom of God. And those sheep then are subject to what is called the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, where the scriptures outline that Jesus is standing before the sheep and he is judging their behaviors, whether or not their behaviors built up the kingdom of God, built up the relationship with Jesus into every aspect of their life, or did not. And he starts to outline, just like in a race, there's a judge who's watching the Olympians run the race. You see, the judgment seat of Christ is what makes you an Olympian. It's just like, oh, it's so great that you made it to the Olympics. You know, if you know someone that made it to the Olympics, it's like, wow, that's an honor in and of itself. Those are the sheep, all the Olympians. Well, then they got to go run the race. And just because they made it to the Olympics doesn't mean they get the same type of award. They got to win the race. They got to work hard. They got to play by the rules. And there's a judge, Jesus, who sits there with all the Olympians, all the sheep, and he says, you get this award. First place, second place. You did this. You did this. You did this. And he awards those according to the time that they spent on earth building up the kingdom of God. Specifically, building the relational aspect of God and Jesus into every aspect of their life. The judgment seat of Christ. All the quality of each person's will be tested on the day of Christ exposes it. Then he goes in this beautiful picture. For on that day, fire will reveal everyone's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. Now here's the picture I want you to see. Every single one of us is spending every day with a wheelbarrow. You didn't know this, but you are. As you can tell, I don't use these very much. Apparently, there's some angle. See what I just learned? there's an angle where if you go too high, it stops. Watch, let's just all have, see, if you go like this, you're good. Can you tell? I'm good? Well, be careful not to tip it too much, Bryce, because then, oh, that's what happens. I'm trying to be awkward for a second. But then the music is coming in, so let's go back. Every one of us is walking around with this every single day. And what the scriptures want us to see in this picture is that you are filling up this with the things you move towards, with whatever massive action, whatever you're doing. And the scriptures teach us that if we're doing something for Jesus, in the name of Jesus, for the growth of Jesus, for the kingdom of God, then that is gold, silver, and precious stones. And then everything else we do that's for the kingdom of self, that's for just our own comfort, that's just for our own promotion, that's wood, hay, and stubble. And basically, you're going through every minute of your life acquiring gold, silver, and precious stones versus wood, hay, and stubble. And what you put in here, you're bringing to Jesus. What you do every single day, you're going to bring it to Jesus, because you are just going to eventually go right up to Jesus on the day of the Lord and say, this is me. This is my life. This is everything I did. And there's some science, there's some teaching in the scriptures. The first one is called salvation. Salvation is where God moves to me. God comes down and saves me. God comes down and gives me new life. The next part of that is a word called sanctification, which means to set apart, to be different, to live a different way, sanctify. So here's the thing. Salvation is God to me. Sanctification is me to God. And every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, are being sanctified daily when we listen to him and do what he says. So when we put what God wants us to do in our lives, we're filling up this gift that we're going to bring before God. God, here's my life. There's things in here that I did for me. I mean, come on, all of us have tons of stubble in here. But then inside of all that are the things that matter to God. And what the scriptures say, and I don't know how he's going to do this, but like it says that you're going to wheel this up to him and you're basically going to dump it out in front of him. You're going to dump this thing out in front of him and you are going to have him then set it on fire. He's going to set it on fire and all the stuff that was not done in the name of Jesus is going to just burn away like kindling and only the precious stones will remain. People who know that one day they'll stand before God and they are going to take account for everything they did, see something that other people don't see. And their days look different. Their activity looks different. Their behavior looks different. They make big changes. They do things that we go, why would they do that? I had a conversation this week with a man named David who is involved in a ministry called Kairos, and it's a prison ministry. And he has spent hours and hours and hours going to the prison to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with men who are in chains, and has shared with them, you need to know Jesus. Massive action, like hours. Like if you looked at his schedule, like you look at the doomsday preppers, this is him. His is his prep. He's prepping for a different end. Come on, come on, come on. He's prepping, believing that one day he knows, I'm going to stand before Jesus one day, and everything I did that promoted the foundation of Jesus Christ in people's lives, that's what's going to remain after the fire. So he told me this story this week. He said he was at the prison last week, And one of the inmates leaned in on him and said, "Why do you come here and talk to us?" And he said, I just believe that it's what Jesus wants me to do." There's another person in our church named Barbara who goes once a month and sits down with women in prison and reads with them. There are people like Rich Halcombe, who you all give to, who he feeds 90,000 people a year down on Parsons Avenue. You say, "Rich, why do you do that with your time? Why did you go buy an old dealership and raise money for helping people? They have a dental clinic. They have an ophthalmologist that comes down there for people. I mean, he spends all this time and resource. He's a PhD. He's a doctor, Dr. Rich Halcombe. You go to Dr. Rich and go, "Hey, why do you do this?" I kid you not, tears stream down his face. He believes, man, I got to spend my day and my week and my month moving with massive action towards the end. People who think with the end in mind prepare for it every day. How are you preparing for it every day? Is my question. How are you preparing for it every day? How is everything you're doing a part of Jesus? And then are you looking at opportunities to specifically get involved in growing the life of Christ into other people's lives, and you're looking at that like, I'm not ready for that? Like serving, like leading a small group, helping with the kids in our church, holding a door, doing a tour, running cameras, running lights, going down to 514 serves last week and serving a neighborhood that needs cleaned up. Because if you start to think about it this way, one day you'll stand before the Lord, all that stuff becomes really easy. Man, I want to do this. I want to do this because one day I'm going to have an account for it. I meet with people. I talk to people. I see it. I know when someone gets it. I know when someone believes that no matter what it is, we've got to build up the local church. We have to have more people hear about Jesus, because there's just so much at stake. There are people all around here that don't know Jesus. People all around here that have not placed their faith in Christ. And it's our job to reach them. And one day we will stand before God and He will set all of our time and energy and treasure on fire, and only what's done in His name will remain. And some people, it says, if you read on in this passage, are going to have so little silver, gold, precious stones, that when the fire comes, it's going to be such blaze, so like a blaze with kindling of the wood, hay, and stubble, that they're going to get seared by the flames, and then they're going to smell like smoke. This is real. One day we're going to be up there, and there's going to be people that have these precious stones in their life, and they gave their life to Christ, and there's going to be people that are up there. They're sheep. You're an Olympian. You're in the game. You just got disqualified. You didn't do much. Now, maybe I'm just a guy, and that motivates me. What motivates you to build into people's lives? Let's take a minute, and let's pray. Let's ask God to change us and see it differently. God, we need to see it differently. We need to see you differently. We need to understand who you are, and we need to build you in every day. How are we building you in every single day into conversations, into our weekly routine, into our monthly routine? How are we committed to this foundation that Paul laid of Jesus Christ? Help us to be focused on that purpose, that one purpose. Help 514 Church to not lose focus, to understand it, to get it, and help everyone in here to be moved to massive action, whatever that may be for them. In Jesus' name, amen.